issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues, Etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues, Etc. What does this mean?
Our lives and our choices, each encounter.
Louisa Ray, Spyglass Magazine.
Right. Suggests a new potential direction.
That's it. The music from my dream.
I call it the Cloud Atlas Sextet.
At home.
Movements I wrote imagining us meeting again and again in different lives, in different ages.
What are you doing in here?
We cross and recross our old tracks like figure skaters. The love of my life. What had happened to her?
I can't explain it. But I knew when I opened that door.
I heard it in a dream. I was in a nightmarish cafe. Blaring, bright lights. Underground and no way out. And the waitresses, they all had the same face.
Welcome to Power Sounds.
No reason to hide. I know you are Sonmi 451.
As a trailer for a movie that has been promised to be different than anything you've ever seen before, it has a genuinely high-powered, starred cast. It's called Cloud Atlas. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're going to be reviewing some of those movies, beginning with Cloud Atlas, starring Tom Hanks and other big Hollywood stars. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will join us here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, October the 31st. Of course, it's Reformation Day, and it is the eve of All Saints Day. A little bit later, we're going to be continuing our Lutheranism Around the World series, talking about Lutheranism in Germany, of all places. It's a actually kind of rare there, at least church-going Lutheranism. Dr. Christopher Allman will be our guest. And then, since it is the eve of All Saints Day, we will be studying the All Saints hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White. Dr. Arthur Just will be our guest. Now, you can join us for the next hour, next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is a regular guest for our movie reviews. He's pastor for Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and he's host of a video blog called Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, it's good to be back.
I've seen several interviews with Tom Hanks, who's one of the stars of this movie. He's out promoting it very heavily, and he has said several times this is like no movie he's ever done and no movie you'll ever see. Does that prove to be true in the case of Cloud Atlas?
I don't know that I could go that far. I mean, it's certainly, and all the reviewers agree on this, it's certainly an ambitious film. It attempts to do things with film that you don't see tried very often. But when I first hear you say this is like no movie you've ever seen, my first thought is no. I saw Pulp Fiction, and Pulp Fiction did a lot of what this movie does in terms of attempting to twist and play with the way a story is told, completely dropping you into the middle of the story at the start, and then building up around and almost from the outside, playing with time, not giving you everything linearly, but until eventually it all starts to piece together, and at the end you do see where the story or stories are going and how these different lives that seem disparate are actually brought together to tell a plot. And Cloud Atlas does do this, but not really any better than Pulp Fiction does, because the one thing I would say is if there is a difference between this and what Pulp Fiction does, this is a preachy version of Pulp Fiction. This is a Pulp Fiction that doesn't want to just be Pulp Fiction, but wants to give you some sort of enlightening, almost spiritual revelatory moment at the end so that all of the movement and struggle and structure that they've brought together is supposed to push you over the edge so that you believe something. But I tell you, it's the most preachy nothing I've ever seen. I still don't know what it wanted me to come to the conclusion I do believe, other than maybe we're all connected to each other, which just isn't that profound a statement if you think about it. So it's ambitious. It's beautiful in many ways. It's heady. It's intellectual. I mean, you're going to have to think as you go through the movie to watch it play together. It's well acted. But honestly, I didn't think it was that good, which is kind of weird. It's like, all of this for what, when Quentin Tarantino did it with a few more curse words 25 years ago.
Okay, so in other words, and I want to get to plot and premise here in just a minute on this movie, because that's difficult to explain, but it sounds like what you're saying is it is an attempt, and maybe typical of Hollywood's attempts in film, to be profound, but doesn't really get to profundity.
No, it speaks in this like hyper philosophical. I mean, you really know. It's like it's almost if the whole movie pauses and someone says, "Now is the time when we're going to tell you the profound thing that you're supposed to understand from this movie," and they do it about five times, maybe three times, 3 to 5 times throughout the film. But and you're listening to the words, and they're using these like really highfalutin sounding hyper philosophical phrases, and it's gobbledygook. We are all connected from womb to tomb. I mean, they say that so many times. And it's just like, okay, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything to me. That's not revelatory. And it gets even more convoluted than that. So it wants to be this philosophical treatise on the interwovenness of existence, but it isn't. And there's nothing really profound about the fact that, you know, some guy writes a journal and then 200 years later, someone buys the version of the written journal. And they even have to go and try to, like, use the same actors throughout the story, throughout history, as different people to try to make this point. But even that doesn't make sense because they don't come – it's not reincarnation. They're not coming back as the same people meeting again. I know the preview kind of makes it look like that, but that's not what happens at all. And so it's like – it's almost confusing. So you got Tom Hanks in one life as this great guy that you're cheering for. In another life, he's the bad guy, and they have nothing to do with each other except there's this journal and this piano piece and, you know, a couple of other kind of random events. It's just not profound at all.
Okay, so that's the premise, so to speak. Is there anything resembling a plot in the movie?
For sure. In fact, I'd say there's about, I can't tell you exactly, there's about seven. And they're each of these separate stories that take place through this history that's connected very loosely by just a couple of kind of random events. And each one of those stories has its own plot, and some of them are fairly good. One reviewer I read, he said that they wouldn't be any good if you watched them by themselves, but because of their disjointedness and there is some genius to the way they structure this film, because of that it makes them entertaining. And each one of those vignettes is kind of, it's got its plot, it's got its purpose. Someone who read the book was telling me how they didn't know, because it's based on a book, how they could possibly make this book into a movie, because the book is more linear and just takes these various plots through their history. But is there an overarching plot to all of them coming together? I'd have trouble telling you what it is, and if I went back and watched it again, I might be able to try to piece that together. Although after 2.5 hours and as much of a kind of a job as it was to watch this film in the first place, as interesting as it was, I don't know that I'd go back for it. I mean, what am I going to find? It's just not, again, that profound enough to make me even care.
What's the worldview that's being presented in Cloud Atlas?
It's sort of a hyper postmodern spiritism, maybe, that there's this sort of oneness behind the lack of reality that we all actually know. So there's certainly no truth to be found other than that we're all real and we're all here and we're all experiencing things together, and maybe if we try really hard, we can affect other people's experiences. But that, I guess, our most profound things that we do, we don't even realize we're doing them because they affect people 200 years away. Yeah, it's like a hyper-postmodernism. There isn't truth, but let's find meaning anyway somehow by, like, sounding profound. I mean, yeah, that's tough to put your finger on.
Is there... this kind of goes to the question of plot. Is there any character arc, any redemption in the movie?
Yes, on several levels. I mean, each of these little plots that happen do have their own character arcs, and in some of them are quite redeeming. My favorite character played by Tom Hanks, of his characters, is the one that's on the poster, is in this super futuristic setting where, you know, a post-World War kind of thing. And his character goes through a very clear kind of redemptive struggle from being a coward who, you know, lets people get killed so he can survive to being one who's willing to take risks to save others. And that's kind of neat to watch. At the same time, there's like the opposite of that. You have like the total nihilist pain of another character who the highlight of his entire story in like this supposed triumph, you're supposed to feel like it's a triumph kind of, is his suicide. And I don't think that's too much of a giveaway. It's hinted at very early in the film. His suicide and his gay lover crying over him, and it wasn't even a suicide over being gay. It was a suicide over not being able to be the artist he wanted to be and really, you know, achieve what he wanted to achieve publicly. And it's just brutally painful to watch. You're like, what am I gaining from this? And then they shift almost immediately to try to, you know, lift you up again by the end of the movie, and it's very difficult to do after that. It's kind of the carnival of the absurd. I don't know if it was Marshall McLuhan or Neil Postman used to talk about how we go from watching these news stories about tremendous tragedy to, and next, you know, the sports, or here, buy this bleach. And it happens so fast that our emotions get numb to it, and it's almost like they're rejoicing in that kind of absurdity in the film, although I couldn't say they were doing that on purpose, but an awkward thing. But is there plot in character development? Yes. Why? I'm not sure.
with only about 30 seconds here before we take our first break, Jonathan, any concerns you have pastorally about the content of, you know, kind of the sex, violence, rock and roll question?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not. There's some violence. That's some of the best part of the movie is this second futuristic world that's called, it's in a place called Neo Soul. And there is a little kind of science fiction violence. That's the most entertaining, I thought, of the whole movie, and the world they create was pretty clever. But no, it's not a crass film. There are a few light sexual scenes, but nothing major. So I'd say a 13, 14-year-old could handle this just fine.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. We're doing some movie review when we come back. End of watch. Stay tuned.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues, etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues, etc. What does this mean?
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
We were Basic Patrol here in Newton, one of the toughest divisions in the LAPD.
Take pride in what you do, you guys.
Yes, sir.
I gotta try to run, try to run. Pin him, man, pin him, pin him.
You know, I see you guys out here being good little company, man. It's all fun and games. You get to run and jump and fight and shoot.
I'm down with that.
Watch your six.
Everybody here is family.
You know I love you, man.
I would lay down my life for you, dude.
Hey, partner, what's up?
I want to have a daughter, man. That'd be so cool. Just don't let her date cops. She's not dating anyone. Okay. Ever.
105 North Avenue, 52.
Intersection 13, roger.
What are we looking for again?
Dope, money, and guns.
¿Hablas inglés o español?
Good! You good, partner?
I'm good.
Well, there's a trailer from the movie called End of Watch. We're doing some movie review with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. That's the next one we're going to talk about. Pastor Fisk is pastor of Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois. He's host of the video blog called Worldview Everlasting. You'll find a link to Worldview Everlasting under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. You were somewhat disappointed with Cloud Atlas, I think it's safe to say. What about End of Watch?
End of Watch was like the opposite kind of experience. I didn't really know what to expect, but if you're going to say that Cloud Atlas is like unlike any movie you've ever seen, I'm going to say End of Watch is like unlike any movie you've ever seen. Maybe you could make a claim that it's like the Blair Witch Project, if you ever saw that when it first came out. But even that doesn't do it justice. What this movie does with far less pretentiousness about it is it messes with the way it tells the story, more through cinematography and camera action than anything else, to the point where it becomes a visceral experience where you are following these two cops in their day-to-day life as they run into trouble with the cartels, and you really care for them and are there with them almost in a physical way. I went and saw this with two other guys, and all of us walked out of there just blown away by how realistic the immersion experience of this film was. And this was largely done by direction and cinematography, choosing to shoot not with still footage, but almost every shot acts as if it's a live camera on scene. And then they have cameras on scene throughout the movie, like say someone's got a camera phone, and then they'll show images as if they're being in that camera phone, or that one of the main characters is taking a class on video, and so he's got his camera with him all the time. But it makes it a very real film. And that wouldn't be enough to do it by itself, but then the main acting done by the two guys, and I can't pronounce their Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Pena, they're fantastic. They give you this realistic, authentic brotherhood that I can't believe they caught it on film. Their writing is so humorously brotherhood-ish, and the play that they give with each other, it's really something. So that by the end of this film, you care about these two guys, and you're also experiencing the very, very difficult life they live as L.A. cops.
Since it is obviously a cop movie dealing with some very violent scenarios, any pastoral concerns there for our audience?
Yeah, it's certainly a violent film, and you can't get away from that. Again, with the realistic cinematography they're going for, they treat it like you're really there. But that's kind of its value as well. You know, we've talked about this before. It's not glorifying the violence in any way, shape, or form. Quite the opposite. You come out of it respecting cops, and I think that's kind of the goal of the film. But certainly, you know, I would not take a young child to this. Certainly respect the R rating and the 17-year-old boundary on that.
Briefly, what's its worldview, End of Watch?
I think the worldview of this is a little bit of moralistic therapeutic deism, honestly, minus the therapy. You just kind of have these two kind of God-fearing, good old boy, old America, going to do my duty for God and country guys, doing the best they can, trying to make it work with their families. One's married, one gets married during the film, stuff like that. But, yeah, a little moralistic deism, which was kind of refreshing. I know it's not that I really want to teach moralistic deism, but when you compare that to the preachiness of postmodern Cloud Atlas, it's really a refreshing thing to see.
Actions of Iran have shocked the civilized world.
Everything.
Our embassy has been seized and more than 60 American citizens continue to be held as hostages.
If we're going to go, then we need to go now.
What happened?
Six of the hostages went out a back exit.
Where are they?
The Canadian ambassador's house.
We've got Revolutionary Guards going door to door. These people die. They die badly.
White House?
Who wants the six of them out?
What we like for this
are bicycles.
Deliver the 6 bikes, provide them with maps.
Or you could just send in training wheels and meet them at the border with Gatorade.
It's going to take a miracle to get them out.
That's a trailer for Argo. Pastor Fisk, what did you make of this based on a true story that I remember this like it was yesterday? What did you make of Argo?
I enjoyed it. It's a good film. I probably would have enjoyed it more if I hadn't just seen End of Watch the week before, because they're two very realistic films again, and I tend to go in for more of the action, fantasy, fun stuff. It hits a time period that, see, you remember it like it was yesterday. I was 2 years old, and my knowledge of this event is almost exclusively reserved to clips that kind of made it into the media somewhere along the way, and then this movie. You know, we didn't cover this in high school history, and I didn't live through it. So what was it? I know that Iran used to kind of be on our side, and then there was this problem. So in that sense, it was kind of helpful for me to learn a little more about it. And then it's based on this secret documents that were, I think, released finally from the CIA by President Clinton that were kept hidden to protect people who were alive from blowback and so forth. Fascinating, really, and to see the way that they worked as Secret Service to try to save American citizens in a foreign country, it was a good thing, and unbelievable in a sense. And the whole premise is they fake a movie and a movie shoot to get a couple people into Iran to get these hostages out, not hostages, these non-hostages who are trapped there because they're U.S. citizens, to get them out as Canadian filmmakers. And that this really happened and this really worked is quite profound. It's a little hilarious, too. They do a little make fun of 1970s Star Wars-ish stuff, and the acting's all very good. But, you know, it's kind of an artist's film. This isn't really like kick back and pull up the popcorn. This is, I like film. I want to see history and play with real ideas. It's not really entertaining for its own sake.
Okay, real quickly on that. In Argo, often these movies that have to do with real geopolitical events will portray the United States as a morally corrupt, or a moral equivalence between, say, the rising of radical Islam there and Western values. Does Argo do this?
We say the moral equivalence. I'm not sure I understood.
Well, is it typical of Hollywood's take on this that they draw a moral equivalence between radical Islam and the United States and its values?
No. There's some gray areas in the way it portrays the U.S. You have good and you have bad, even within the CIA or even within the filmmakers who are trying to help out the CIA in this. And some of it really does come down to the moral choice that the actual agent has to make to disobey orders in order to make this thing happen. So it's not like it's really painting the U.S. in one picture or the other. Clearly, radical Islam as radical is painted as dangerous. But that it also takes is that almost at pains to show you how not everyone, even in Iran at that time, agreed with that. And so it's kind of gray on both sides in that way.
If we play this right, we could take the whole city.
That's the trailer for Judge Dredd. It's a comic book remake of a remake. What did you make of it, Jonathan?
If you want a movie that's just violence for violence's sake, this was probably it. It wasn't all bad, and there was a little bit of character development, but not much. I mean, it was pretty much, let's just blow up some stuff in a semi-futuristic world with lots of really scarred people trying to fight back or fight each other and, you know, have power over this block. The sci-fi world it creates is really fascinating. I mean, I would have liked to have seen this be more because its context is pretty neat as a dystopia. But I came out of that thinking, man, what a waste of 2 hours.
What's its worldview if there was one to present? Well, about 1 minute here.
The world is horrible and the strong will survive, and maybe if you get a good strong guy, he'll be able to protect you. But even the good strong guy is kind of a bad guy, too. What worldview is that? I guess that's kind of like a blend between postmodern and modernism. where you have, it's more postmodern, you have this dark hero idea. So he's not really good, he's not really seeking truth, or he is, but he can't really be good in the end because to do good you have to do bad. That's kind of the relativism stuff.
And then other than that and the gratuitous violence, any pastoral concerns with about 30 seconds?
Well, yeah, that's, for me personally, this is one of those films where the violence was more than I was willing to put up with for the story. So, you know, I'm not one to condemn. If you can still get story out of this, I'm not going to condemn you for it, but if I weren't reviewing the film for you, I would not have stuck around to watch it all. So,
Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be back with us for a two-hour phone interview Saturday afternoon at 1 Central on the Lord's Supper during our live 24-hour broadcast called Issues Etc. 24 that begins 3 o'clock Central on this Friday and runs for 24 live hours with the best guests and topics for those 24 hours all the way till Saturday. We need your help promoting this, so go to our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find the video promoting Issues Etc. 24. Pastor Fisk, along with many other guests, share it on Facebook, send it as a link in your email. Just let people know that Issues Etc. 24 is coming up live Friday, beginning at 3 p.m. Central. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor for Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, host of a video blog called Worldview Everlasting, author of the forthcoming book, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Should Break As Often As Possible. Jonathan, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, it's always a blessing.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Lutheranism around the world. Today, we focus on Germany. Dr. Christopher Ullman will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is a 4-CD set of all the hymns, ballads, and chants composed and authored by Martin Luther. It's titled Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Listen to A Mighty Fortress, From Heaven Above, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, and 36 other recordings in Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.